On the show today, a more walkable world. So we've talked about moving throughout the workday, making our cities more walkable, walking for our health and as a form of activism. And now, a story about a man who walks because he just can't stop.
I guess my own journey, it's a pilgrimage that I've been on for all these years. I grab my banjo and I walk. I think walking is essential, and for me, it's a sacred journey. Walking is sacred.
This is John Francis. He calls himself the Planet Walker because he's been, well, walking the planet for the last 50 years.
Because I like walking, I guess.
We caught up with him near Cape Town, South Africa, at the start of a long trip.
My plan is to turn north and go through Natal.
John's goal,
Zambia,
is to walk
Kenya,
the entire length
Ethiopia,
of the African continent.
And into Egypt.
It will take him months, but that's okay.
I'm like 78 now, so I'm just not the spry young fellow that, you know, threw on a backpack and just kind of walked out the door, and when I got tired, I put a tent up or throw my sleeping bag down under a bridge or those kinds of things. Because I try to walk about 15 to 20 miles a day.
All this walking started as a protest in 1971 when John happened to witness a massive oil spill not far from his home in California.
Yeah, maybe a million gallons spilled into the San Francisco Bay and was taken out by the tide and then flooded back onto Marin County and parts of the bay.
Here's John Francis on the TED stage.
I witnessed two oil tankers collide beneath the Golden Gate, and it disturbed me so much that I decided that I was going to give up riding and driving in motorized vehicles. That's a big thing in California. And it was a big thing in my little community of Point Reyes Station in Inverness, California, because there was only about maybe 350 people there in the winter. This was back in 71 now. And so when I started walking around, people would drive up next to me and say, "John, what are you doing?" And I'd say, "Well, I'm walking for the environment." And they said, "No, you're walking to make us look bad, right? You're walking to make us feel bad." And maybe there was some truth to that, because I thought that if I started walking, everyone would, you know, follow.
Sadly, that didn't happen. But other wonderful and strange things did as John walked and walked. For instance, one day he decided not to talk.
And so on my 27th birthday, I decided not to speak just for one day. Just give my community the gift of my silence, because I just talked so much and thought I knew everything.
This vow of silence ended up lasting 17 years. And regardless, John made friends. He learned to build boats. He also got an education.
I was able to go to school without speaking, and in 2 years earn my bachelor's degree in science and mathematics. But my dad was really concerned. He said, "We're so proud of you, but what are you going to do with a bachelor's degree if you don't ride in cars and talk?"
John wasn't sure. So he walked to another university where he got his master's in environmental sciences.
Of course, my dad showed up again, and he was, you know, just awestruck that I had graduated with a master's degree, not speaking.
John went on to get his PhD, very quietly. And then he kept walking. But this time he decided to head south.
Through the Caribbean, to Barbados, to Venezuela, to Brazil, and Brazil to Bolivia, and Bolivia to Argentina. And I spent a month in Antarctica, then came across from Antarctica to Ushuaia.
He did take one big break from walking, several years, in fact, at the request of his fiancée.
We'd been dating for 10 years, and she said, John, no, it's time for us to get married and raise a family. So I did that. I returned home and I got married. We had two boys. They're 23 and 17 now. And she said, okay, you can go, you can go walk again. So I'm here in South Africa beginning that walk.
If someone says, well, I understand you love to walk. It's very important to you. But what do you think the purpose is of it for other people? Is there a, are you drawing attention to a cause? Are you talking to people as you go? Tell me what it's why, that why.
Yeah. I realized that that how we treated each other was really a very important part of being an environmentalist, because if we oppressed each other or exploited each other, all those things were going to manifest in the physical environment around us. And then I realized that the reason that me as an African American made it across the United States, not speaking, just playing a banjo, and was able to go to school and get my degrees, end up with a PhD, is because of people's kindness. It was like human kindness. And without that, I don't think that I would have made it across America.
I think there's some people listening with whom that story really will resonate. But there probably are other people who are like, oh, this guy's an old hippie. He's walking around with a banjo and then spreading kindness. How does that work? How do you explain it? How do you know if you're spreading kindness? What's it like on a day-to-day basis?
Well, you know, I mean, if there are people that I'm certain I just can't explain it to, I just try to live it. And in living it, I think that is that essential part of what we do is living what we believe. This is just what I believe, and this is how I express it in my life.
So that's very high level. Do you mind if we go very micro and detailed? Would you mind taking me through a day in the life of you walking?
Okay, in Africa, I'm leaving from a place called Gordon's Bay, and I'm trying to get to Mossel Bay. And we got to a place where we stopped for lunch. And there's a gentleman who is sitting at a table with another gentleman, and he sees the banjo and he goes, "What? Did I miss the concert?" And I turned and looked at him and I said, "Why, no, I have some music for you." And so I played something for him and I explained to him the walk, and I was heading to Betty's Bay. And he said, "You know, I live in Betty's Bay. When are you going to start walking tomorrow?" And I said, "Well, at 7 o'clock, I'm going to start walking." He says, "I'm going to be here with a friend and we're going to walk with you." And the next morning, there I was at 7 o'clock, and there he was with his friend, Mike. And they're two South Africans, and, you know, they're speaking Afrikaans that to everyone around them and English to me. We all take off, and the next day, someone else wanted to walk with me. So it was kind of like that for the first week of walking, that people just wanted to walk with me. I had some company and places to stay wherever I went.
I mean, you're connecting people as you go. What do you talk about when people join you on a walk? Because they're usually strangers, it sounds like.
Sometimes people have questions about, you know, how I got there. But more often than not, people just want to be silent and walk with me silently.
Why do you think that is?
I think they want to experience what it's like walking without having to say anything and just feeling the earth and each other, and there's a, you know, kind of a magnetism or electric field that surrounds us and connects us to the planet, and we just become part of that. And probably that's the most fulfilling times, when we're all just walking together and not having to say very much about anything except just being where we are.
Do you go through different mental stages or physical discomfort at various points that you've come to recognize over the now 50 years that you've been doing this?
Well, yes. I mean, it still takes me a little while to start off, but once I get going, then I just get into this place. It's like a mantra, and I'm just walking and just walking and just walking. It's not that I love it or it's not that I hate it. It's just this place where I am, and it's just who I am, and I'm walking, and I'm walking. Often there's a hill, so climbing up the hill is just, it's one step after the other, one step after the other, and then at some point, you're at the top. And I love that, to look out over the landscape and see another hill and see another hill. And you would think that I would get tired of that, but I don't. I just, it's just part of being on the earth and being together with the planet, being part of the planet.
That's John Francis, the Planet Walker. You can learn more about his latest journey and all the climate data he's collecting along the way for the Globe Science Education Program at planetwalk.org. You can also watch his full talk at TED.com. Many thanks to him for playing his banjo for us, too. And thank you so much for listening to our show, A More Walkable World. This episode was produced by Katie Monteleone, Fiona Guerin, and James Delahousie. It was edited by Sanaz Meshkinpour and me. Our production staff at NPR also includes Rachel Faulkner-White, Matthew Cloutier, and Harsha Nahada. Irene Noguchi is our executive producer. Our audio engineers were Margaret Luthar, Ted Mebane, and Gilly Moon. Our theme music was written by Ramteen Arablouei. Our partners at TED are Chris Anderson, Michelle Quint, Alejandra Salazar, and Daniela Balarezzo. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you've been listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR.